I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new day, another morning after.
Leaning back from the chair. Well, to win the header from the goal kick, and then Washington and Stockley combine. It's back with Washington. Can he get the ball in the box? He can. To Stockley, no, just beyond him. Finds Miller, though. Will he take the shot? He does, and it's the goal! Chelm take the lead. 17 and a half minutes gone, and a fully deserved one at that.
Yeah, totally agree, Tell. This time they make MK Dons pay. China pressed really, really well in his opening 17 minutes. We spoke about the opportunities they should have created and nearly had one through Darren Bratley just a minute ago. This time the ball on the right side, lovely ball in from Washington. And again, an overload on the left-hand side. Stockley could have got it. Instead, he leaves it for Liam Miller, and that's a lovely finish from the Liverpool loanee.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at that 1-0 win over Milton Keynes. We just heard the goal there in the intro. And of course, we'll look ahead to the game at the Valley on Saturday. Massive game with Portsmouth. Always a big game when we play Pompey. Really looking forward to this one. Of course, we'll hear from Lee Bowyer throughout the show. We've also got a few of your tweets and emails to come to as well. And who else are we going to hear from this evening? Well, we're going to hear from Closet Liverpool fan, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, you?
Yeah. Again, just recording early again so you can watch a Liverpool game. I'm starting to hope this is, like, think this is more than a coincidence that you always seem to be watching Liverpool.
I mean, did you see our game on Tuesday? I've got to find something else to liven things up.
Yeah, what a classic. 3 points, so that's all that matters. Liverpool would kill for that now. And also joining us on this Thursday evening, Mr. Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
Evening, Louis. No, I'm all good. All good.
Good to have you on the show. Been a while, actually, but you were able to sit down in front of the game on Tuesday night. So, yeah, 3 points. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Excellent stuff. So, as I said on tonight's show, look back at Milton Keynes first, Tom. And that's not a bad display, actually, as far as I'm concerned, you know, considering how much of a runaround they gave us at the Valley in December. To go there and keep their danger man quiet, get away with a 1-0 win, I was quite pleased with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've commentated there 3 or 4 times for us, so I feel like I seem to be there more than anywhere else. And they always seem like very difficult games against MK Dons. I don't know why. And Tuesday was no different. I described it after the game as gritty. I think the official Twitter did as well. And it was. It wasn't a pretty game to watch. I know Mark said he enjoyed it just off air, but I didn't particularly enjoy it as a spectacle. But we did the sort of hard graft that you've got to do to get results in this league. And it felt a little bit, again, a little bit more like our Charlton. And we've said it, 4 or 5 weeks now, I think. The back end of the Rochdale game, obviously the win at Bristol, the Peterborough, despite the result. I think the games are starting to turn now and the performances are starting to potentially yield results. And obviously Benji put out that very kind of nerdy piece, if you like, about expected goals and shots on target and stuff. But it has felt a little bit like luck just hasn't been going our way in recent weeks. And actually we've done well enough to deserve more from games. And I think Tuesday was a perfect example of where we did everything right. It wasn't pretty. Prattley did his job on Fraser. Schwartz came on and defended more than he attacked, but all those little things got us a result which we fully deserved. And again, now the question is, like the Bristol Rovers game, can we now kick on and actually turn it into a run of wins and not just a bit of a flash in the pan? Because as I say, performances on the whole over the last month have been much, much better.
Yeah, certainly have. And it was a return to that sort of solid base that we'd seen at Bristol Rovers, Mark, you know, a good defensive unit. I thought we'd probably let it go again against Swindon when we made a couple of errors. But, you know, it was back to where it should be. And we really did sort of cut down the amount of chances that Milton Keynes had. And again, that for me, that's more important than the fact that we only scored one goal and didn't look that much like scoring too often, because we know we can score goals. We're top two scorers in the league or something like that. We know we can score goals. It's keeping it out that's always been the problem. So anytime we see an improvement in that, that's always really important for me.
Yeah, I think it's what you would, a word to describe, is regimented. Both Matthews and Purrington, neither of them bombed on up the pitch. They stayed tight. They very rarely went over their halfway line. Obviously, Gunter and Deji worked well together as a team. Bodies came back in. I think we looked more organised. We looked threatening. I think the shock was, is I think when Stockley had a shot from outside the box, you know, 25 yards, he's out of sight. I'm thinking, we don't normally have a strikers who are doing that. We'd like to pass it. So, and I think his hold-up play and putting himself around in the first half went under the radar a bit, you know, with the rest of the side, especially with Miller. But no, I think we're regimented. That's how I describe us on Tuesday.
Yeah, and it certainly worked. I mean, before we talk more in depth about Darren Pratley's superb display, Tom, the goal itself, Liam Miller, another one who's really been performing well over the last few weeks. I mean, Bo talks all the time the last month or so about how the players he's bringing in, they have to improve us. And you have to say that Liam Miller has done. And again, even before we talk about his tracking back in the second half particularly, a great goal, you know, he took his time to take a touch and drill it into the bottom corner, a little bit of composure in front of goal that's great to see from a young loney.
Yeah, 100%. And when he signed, I said that composure and that final decision will be the thing that makes or breaks this loan spell for him, and that's the thing that will improve with age and experience. And I think he came in just before the game on Sky, didn't he? Was it against Accrington? And I remember basically all Sky talked about in that game was Liam Miller, like he was the next, you know, big thing. And I think I'd said on a podcast, you know, he's going to need a bit of time because he is young and he is raw. And his performances have been good, definitely, and he's definitely improved us. But I haven't necessarily been raving about him as much as some people. And that's just because that end product hasn't quite been there yet. He's maybe made the wrong decision or whatever. But every game he has definitely improved a little bit each time. And Tuesday was definitely his best performance for us. I think he got man of the match, didn't he? He was certainly top two, as you say, with Darren Pratley. And fully deserved his goal because it came to him and he had quite a lot of time. And you need composure. And as I say, for a young player, it's very easy to snatch at that chance or to make the wrong decision, but obviously stuck it in the back of the net and did the most important thing. And yeah, I think hopefully he can kick on from that now. And as I say, I'm not being critical of him and I'm not suggesting his performances have been poor by any stretch. I think he's definitely improved us. But I think now he hopefully, again, like the results, can start to add that end product a little bit more regularly. And there's no reason he can't get a lot of goals for us, as Alfie was doing prior to his injury as well. So yeah, I was really pleased with his performance and hopefully he can continue to improve.
And he added another side to his game, which we know Bo demands from every player, whether they're the flair player or the gritty midfielder, and that's hard work and tracking back. And we saw that, you know, in that last 5 minutes or so when that cross went over to the far post and he kicked it behind off the defender for a goal kick. You know, that tracking back, I mean, would you see that from a Marcus Madison, for example? That's how Bo picks his favourites, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And you're right, that's what we need out of these players more than anything else. And again, it goes back to something I think I said a few weeks ago, that we didn't really look like we were a Bowyer side, and that's what you expect from them. The Tuesday night's performance, like I say, I didn't particularly enjoy it as a spectacle to watch, but that's exactly the sort of performance that a Bowyer side will give you when it needs to. And obviously, when we're back at home and you've got 20,000 in the ground and the pitch is in good condition, we're going to play much better football and hopefully a more attacking style. But when you're away on a Tuesday night, having played every 4 days for, what, 3 or 4 weeks now, and the pitch is like it was, you just need to dig in and try and dig out a result. And you're right, that's exactly what he did. We've seen more of that from Johnny Williams this season. We've seen more of that from Albie Morgan this season. Bowyer demands it. And I know we're going to come on to talk about Maddison later. We haven't necessarily seen as much of that, although he has done it in some of the games. But if you're going to play in a Bowyer side, you need to do that. And Liam Miller absolutely did. And he's another one that I'm sure at the end of this loan spell is going to go back to Liverpool a much better player than he came to us.
Yeah, certainly. Now, Mark, I don't know if you've had a chance to read Benji Nurik's column in the South London Press today. He's joined up with the winning team there in terms of the local, well, the only paper really. he's done a superb little deep dive into Darren Pratley's performance and how he kept Scott Fraser quiet. Yeah, if you haven't read it yet, get a chance to. But Mark, I mean, that was vintage Darren Pratley. I love Darren when he plays like that, and he's so good at it, and he's got energy that, you know, belies his age. And I hate saying that because he's only about 3 years older than me, but you know, in terms of football age, he's a veteran.
No, I did read it. I thought it was a very good piece, and it's only what like people have been saying. Once you've got Pratley in the right place doing the right job, he's such an integral part of that team, and it shows how much we missed him when he was having to play centre back. You know, and it was his kind of game. I mean, I'm not saying he can't do, you know, good things. We've seen him score some fantastic goals, but you know, he had a job to do, and it reminded me a bit like Keith Jones, who used to play for us alongside Kinsella. And Keith Jones was a kind of player who, you give him instructions to mark someone out of a game, would literally be on them like their laces. And it was like that. And I just thought myself, and it, I think what it did is, when it got to the last 5 minutes, we know as Charlton fans that you're sitting there going, oh, I can feel they're going to get a late one or something's going to happen. I didn't actually have that feeling watching this game, because I thought, you know what, Pratley's there. You know, he's geeing them up, he's organised them, he's kept their guy quiet. I couldn't see them getting a last minute winner. And it's, you know, that could be a corner we've turned. You know, if we even concede a last one at Portsmouth on Saturday, I'm going to look silly. But, you know, it's just thinking, have him in the right place, doing the right things. Nothing that is, you know, because I thought also Jake had another good game. He was there. I mean, I think everyone looked at what Pratley was doing, but Jake was backing him up all the way. And I think he's developing this season into such a good player, which is great for us, because we missed sort of like him last season. We had Cullen, but you know, having Jake and Pratley, which would be my ideal too, and Shinny buzzing around, that's a very, very good midfield.
Yeah, it certainly is when they've been performing. And considering, I think maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, I think a lot of people were pointing out the midfield getting overrun as being a problem. It is nice that area of the pitch has started to pick up again. I think we should probably talk a bit about Deji once more, Tom. You know, it's remarkable how long it's taken him to get into the side, really. And again, even a month ago, I think between us, we were saying, actually, I'm not sure I'd have him in the team over Pratley at centre-half. But I feel like we should have egg on our face now. A big, big helping of humble pie for those of us who fought that, because he's done quite well since he's come in.
Yeah, I can't remember necessarily whether I was one of those who said that or not. I know
I'll find the clip in time for Sunday, don't worry.
Nice one. I think something I definitely did say was when they switched it around and brought Pierce back in for that one game against Peterborough, I felt like, actually, if Deji is going to be in and him and Gunter are playing together and we get a result, why change it around? And I know Gunter's not a natural centre-back, but those two had built up quite a nice partnership in that game. And I think they've continued to do that. And, you know, it's a difficult decision to leave out someone with Pierce's experience, who is a natural centre-back and who has been a very good player for us in the past. You know, let's make no mistake about it. He's been a good leader for us. But at the moment, maybe with the niggly injuries and the games coming as thick and fast as they are, he's made a couple of mistakes. And I'm sure he would admit to that as well. So with Deji playing the way he is, and with Gunter on the whole playing well at centre-back, I know earlier in the season, Burton away, for example, in particular, but there were a couple of games where he was perhaps guilty of a few mistakes. I think recently he's looked a lot more solid there as well. And I know Famwo is hopefully going to be back soon, and hopefully Ryan Innes as well before the end of the season. And you'd imagine at that point they might come in. But they just looked a little bit more solid. And Deji and Pratley in particular, as Mark said, that midfield just looked a little bit more balanced in front of them. Pratley playing in his more natural position. And it just the whole team had a lot more balance about it. And yeah, Deji is benefiting from getting to play games now, which he hasn't had a whole lot of opportunity to do. So yeah, I hope him and Gunter start again at the weekend, because they're starting to build that relationship now, and that's really important. You look at season before last, we probably had, what, Naby, Bauer and Pierce, or maybe the season before. It was only ever those three that rotated, and there was a lot of consistency there. We haven't really had the opportunity to have that this season, so I think now it's important that we take that opportunity and try and build on that now.
Yeah, and it's interesting something Tom said there, Mark, about Deji starting alongside Gunce. That's what he'd like to see happen on Saturday, because obviously Gunce is not a centre-half. He's starting ahead of the skipper, Jason Pearce. I think we'll hear later on in the show that Atkins got an outside chance, but it is only an outside chance for Saturday. But, you know, that's a big decision for Bo to make, to play Gunter over Jason Pearce. It'd be interesting to see how Jason feels about it as well, because, you know, he's the captain, he's vastly experienced, but he has made a few mistakes recently. I feel like I know his character well enough to know that he'll keep his head down and work as hard as he can to get back into the side, but there must be a bit of a blow for him.
Yeah, you could take what he put on Twitter after the game sort of like slightly two ways. Sort of like almost like forced, oh, well, the boys did really great. I'm saying it was great to sit and watch it. I'm thinking, yeah. I think what you've got to give Deji credit for is when he got his yellow card for running out and booting a ball up the pitch. That was just
like half the length of the pitch.
Yeah, it was just, oh, thank you very much, Deji. I think it's worth it all the way. Yeah, I don't think Pierce can have actually a grumble about being out of the side. I think he has looked weak. I mean, I think I've said on here and sort of like on Twitter as well, it's hard to say with Pierce, because he came back after his like long summer layoff with injury, and whether this is just sort of like a season too far for him, because you can't take away what he's done for us over the last couple of seasons, but has it got to a point where you go, you know what, when you are making those mistakes... You know, and he has made mistakes which have cost us goals. And as I said, you know, if Barker had done it, you'd be a bit more forgiving. But when it's your skipper with X amount of 100 games under his belt, making those kind of mistakes, I don't think Gunter can be pulled out. I think Famo, you know, if he's fit, will he come onto the bench? Will we have both Pierce and Famo, two centre-halves, on the bench? Unlikely. I'd have thought, until he's probably fit enough to sort of like drop back in. And, or we don't know if Matthews picks up something and then Bowyer's hand's forced a bit. So it's a bit of a quandary, but I don't think we're going to be sitting with two centre-halves at home on the bench on Saturday. So,
yeah, certainly it'll be an interesting selection headache for Bo if Akin is indeed fit enough for a place within the squad. So a result that we needed, Tom... obviously you've got to back it up, which we didn't really do after that win against Bristol Rovers. You know, we go on to drop further points, which is, you know, being frustrating. Probably should have won the Peterborough games. Certainly should have got something from it. Swindon we certainly should have won, but we didn't. So we have to make sure we back it up. But again, we've spoken about the last few weeks being on the right upward trajectory, the right curve. You know, we're performing better. You know, we haven't seen a chaotic display. You know, we've made some mistakes. We haven't seen quite the chaotic displays that we saw against Rochdale, Accrington or Hull. And we need to make sure that continues now.
Yeah, you're completely right. Performances over the last, I would say, five games now have been a lot better. The kind of calamity defending has still been there for some of the goals we have conceded. And I know we discussed that at length the other week, but that aside, the performance as a whole has been better. We're not being overrun by teams. We're digging in. We're doing the hard graft. And I've said for a few weeks now that going forward, we look really, really dangerous. I think Shinny coming back in has made a huge difference. I think Johnny has played well in the games he's played in recently. Miller coming in, obviously adding that pace down the flank. I think Albie has looked good on the whole. He's played a couple of beautiful passes in recent weeks. Obviously putting Washington through the other week was the kind of the one that stands out. And then up front, I think Washington's working hard. EK, Ronnie and Stockley coming in. There's competition for places there now that there maybe wasn't before. And obviously there was personnel there with Bogle and with Smith, who's been obviously recalled today. But they weren't really giving Bowyer a reason to pick them enough, despite the hard work that they were putting in. You know, they weren't putting the ball in the back of the net, which is what they're there for. So, yeah, there just seems a bit more of a balance in the squad. I think, again, something I've spoken about for a few weeks now is Lee knowing his best formation and his best 11. I think maybe he's starting to get an idea of that. Remember that the signings came in late. It was a chaotic summer, and they do take time to gel. Look, we might lose to Portsmouth at the weekend and we're just talking about one result again. But you're right, it does feel like we're on the right trajectory now. And we've got, I think, just five games. I think there's only one Tuesday in February that we're playing. So he's got a lot more time on the training pitch to work with these players, to hopefully get some of them back fit. So, yeah, I think the next 2 months are going to be absolutely massive for us, because teams have got games around us, but there's obviously not a lot of time left in the season. So they've still got a lot of games to play in a short space of time. And hopefully we've got over that now. And hopefully just, you know, a game a week for the majority of the weeks, we can start to focus on the training pitch and actually start to gel this side together, because they haven't really had that opportunity. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear what the Addicts boss, Lee Moya made of the game. That would be his job if he's like a gardener or something, Lee Moya. But against Milton Keynes Dons, I asked the boss what he made of it after the match.
A very professional, gritty performance. I thought we was good from start to finish. I thought our shape was good, our work rate, our commitment, our fight. I think everything from start to finish was excellent.
And to come away with a clean sheet as well after some of the defensive problems there's been over the last few weeks, that was a real good result for you.
Yeah, I think we got back to doing the basics right, you know. That they're human beings, they're going to make mistakes. And the most important thing is that we got a clean sheet against a good, very good MK side. They score a lot of goals, they do. They're a good side. And I think our shape was excellent. I think everything that we planned to do worked. But you can't afford to carry any players. And tonight, I think you see that we didn't carry anyone. Everyone put a shift in. They won their individual battles. I've got Liam Miller in the 87th, 88th minute, defending across on his far post outstandingly, like a seasoned fullback. And then the next second, he's then sprinting up the other end. And I thought he was outstanding tonight. If it was on a better pitch, he sets up Ronnie as well for a tap-in. It takes a bobble as he goes to cross it to Ronnie, and that's unlucky. But so yeah, I thought we was good. I think we should have, if we'd have just taken care of the ball, you know, like when we first won it back, we set little traps and then we pressed and we won the ball. But then it was just that next pass, or then the second pass, we was a bit sloppy. Again, the pitch was poor. So I said to the players, I'll give you the benefit of that. But yeah, if we'd have taken care of that first or second pass, we would have scored a lot more. Even first half, before we scored, there was a couple of occasions I thought, here we go, goal, go on. And we just didn't make the right decision, or the pass was wrong. So, but yeah, overall, I'm happy, obviously.
And just a word for Darren Prattley. You mentioned in your Valley Pass interview, obviously he had to work really hard to keep Fraser quiet, because we know what trouble he gave us at the Valley in the game in December.
He's their best player. He's their best player. And when we played him at our place, he caused us a lot of problems. But Darren Prattley is an experienced pro and a winner. I said to him before the game, look, if you can keep quiet, that is, that's just now gone to Crystal Palace, and you can keep quiet Bradley Dack, then you can do the same with this lad. At the end of the day, you have to respect every team that you play against. And perhaps his job out of possession was to make sure that Fraser didn't do anything to hurt us, and I think he done it exceptionally well. So players like that, they're priceless. They're priceless.
And looking at the defence as well with another clean sheet, I thought Deji looked quite good again today. Obviously, he was someone who had to be very patient for his chance. And what have you made of him in the few performances he's put in since he's come back in?
Yeah, I think he's done well. I think he's looked quite solid. Obviously, the Peterborough, him and Piercy both drop. But taking that one thing away, I think he's I think he's done very well on the ball. He's not run away from it. He's wanted the ball. But most importantly, what his job is defended well. Defended crosses, aggressive from goal kicks and things like that. So, yeah, he's done well. So, he's got to continue that, though. It's no good doing it for 2, 3, 4, 5 games. You've got to continue that. Every game you're playing, you have to be at your best.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cassidy swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down, Bogle touchdown, Bradley! Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down, Bogle touches it, and Darren Bradley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, leave them behind. A little boy that's there who
said I hate people like you. I got matchsticks and cable. Charlton Live.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview there. Just before the break, we heard from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, after that win up at Milton Keynes. A big one for the Addicts boss. Very pleased was he with the display he was. What else? We've got a few things I want to talk about, actually. We'll come on to Paul Smith leading and what Bo said after the game about Marcus Maddison as well. But let's speak to you guys first via email. So we've got your emails and your tweets that have come in. Phil Hall says, hi guys, a good, well-disciplined performance on Tuesday against MK, although I would prefer that we don't go so defensive once we have scored. I can understand it at the moment with the pressure that has been building without securing the points, but it's always risky because, as we know only too well, we have made basic errors in this defence recently. For the midfield was probably our strongest combination, and the effort and commitment of all four midfield players was outstanding. Special praise to Liam Miller, who would clearly prefer to be receiving the ball and running at defenders, but showed great discipline in playing as deep as necessary to strengthen the left flank defensively. Good to have two pairings that can play together up front and ease the stress of playing two matches per week by splitting the duty potentially on a 60-30 minute basis for each pairing, and I don't think there is too much to choose between either pairing. Like to see the same team with possibly the alternate strikers starting on Saturday, and if fit, adding Famwo to the bench to get him 15 minutes in preparation for future games. Pompey will be another tough test, and if we can pick up another 3 points, I think the results will continue to come. Enjoyable listen and build up to each game. Keep up the good work. That's from Phil Hall. Cheers for that, Phil. Yeah, well, I mean, a lot was made of the amount of possession that Milton Keynes had on Tuesday, 70%. But they do tend to be a very heavily possession-based side, Mark. And I think it looked like Bo was quite happy for them to have a lot of the ball. I mean, I understand. I do feel, yeah, we didn't create as much after we scored. We didn't create much throughout at all. But we did what we had to do. And, you know, sometimes that's just how you have to face a side who are good on the ball, like MK.
Yeah, but to be honest, they can have it for 95% of the time. If they don't score, they don't score. I mean, I always say, if your record books will say we won 1-0. It won't say, oh, they had 75% of possession. And to be honest, we were always almost better. We had better results, I think it used to be. I'm not sure if it still is. The stat people will know that when we didn't have the bulk of possession, when we had under sort of like 45%, we were actually better and we were getting more wins. And like I say, you can have it all you like. It doesn't matter. I mean, it was a... I mean, you said about the pitch. I mean, it was both for both teams. But and I think it's, when it comes down to it, I think that was the only thing of Bowyer's mistake he made is when he put Albion, and he just didn't really get involved with getting on the ball or anything. But I think it wasn't his kind of game. I mean, I don't like Watson, but I think if he'd dropped him in, it's his kind of like game to put your foot in. Albion just didn't see enough of the ball. It's hard with Washington's probably going to be out. So it's, do you start with Ronnie and then put Chucks on, or do you start with Chucks and then put Ronnie on? I'd probably start with Ronnie and swapping for Chucks at half time alongside Stockley. It depends if whether he's going to stick Bogle back into the four, because he said he wanted four. So
yeah, I'd say that seems unlikely to me. But yeah, you never know. And there, that is another a good point that was raised by Fielder and mentioned by Mark about the alternate strikers. It'd be interesting actually if people have a preference. If you want to tweet that in time for Sunday show, I'd be interested about that actually, because yeah, Phil said that he doesn't seem too much between the two sort of little groups of strikers that we've seen playing with each other. We've got a tweet in as well. So we've got a message in from John West from the Upbeat. Seems to be having a good time. I hope you're well, John. I hope you're enjoying, well, lockdown. I don't think you can enjoy that, but maybe getting out and kicking a ball in a garden or something while you're waiting to go back. Right, Redmond says it was a great team display. Miller was brilliant all over the pitch. Subs were inoffensive, though. Wish we could kill games off, not sit back on a 1-0 lead. Come on, the Addicts. Great show, as always. That's from Redmond. Cheers, Craig. Darris says, our midfield has been good since Prattley finished his suspension and Shinny has come back into the side. A lot easier not to concede goals when the defence isn't exposed by the midfield being overrun. Deji has been an unsung hero as well since returning from injury. Yeah, good mention there for Andrew Shinny. We haven't really spoke about Tom. He's... again, he's added something to us, isn't he? And you can see him sort of, he just pops up in between the lines. He seems to be everywhere, doesn't he? A little bit of a creative spark.
Yeah, you're right. I was about to say, finds his space in between the lines constantly and just kind of buzzes around a little bit, kind of similar to Prattley, but slightly higher up the pitch. It just always seems to be there, always seems to be the one looking to try and get on the ball. And I mean, we know the quality he's got. From his time in, you know, we've seen him up against us plenty of times, but I think to have him in our team, I don't think I really anticipated him being out of the side to make as much of a difference as it did. But now he's come back in and performances have improved again. It shows just what a difference he's making. I remember people used to say the same about Cullen when he missed time out. And then he'd come back in, you'd be like, oh, that was the problem. So yeah, I think he's maybe becoming a bit more visible in recent games, obviously getting on the end of a goal again the other day, and just contributing in the final third of the pitch as well as doing the dirty work at the other end. So yeah, unlike the other players that I've spoken about in that midfield that have improved, I think he's one that definitely gets up and down the pitch quite a lot, and is someone we need in this side, definitely. And saw his interview after Swindon at the weekend, seems to have a good personality too, so yeah, a good, strong character to have in the group, I think.
Yeah, certainly is. Right, PJN says, injuries and suspensions aside, I wouldn't want to see Prattley and Watson both starting a game. For me, Prattley has to start ahead of Watson. What are your thoughts on that, and Madison not even be being referred to, let alone in the squad? All very cryptic from Bowyer on him. Mark, yeah, I mean, we'll save the Madison chat for a little while because I want to hear a clip about him in a bit. But... Prattley and Watson. I saw today that Bromley Addicts are going to be doing a live Zoom supporters meeting with Prattley and Watson both in it. And my immediate thought was that I can't have them both in the same Zoom. Get Albion or someone, liven it up a bit. But yeah, what do you think about having them potentially in the same team now that Watson's sort of edging back to fitness?
No. Basically, no.
Is that a no? Just to clarify.
I'm sorry. Look, you can't play the two of them together because they're both almost like anchoring, and then they're too close together, and then you can say you want someone who's going to drive on, and they're both almost like safety net players in that midfield. So you can say, like, we're here if you want to take the ball and Jake or Albie whatever and spray it around, we're going to look after you. If you have two of those, it negates it, because you're then going to be saying, right, you know, we're going to have no width, they're going to be too narrow. I mean, he's got more, you know, yellow cards when he has goals. So I don't know. He's not the same player who played against us. And I wish he was. I really wish he was, because, you know, he's one of those players you think yourself, you know, he could actually can control a game. But I think if you've got Pratley there as well, I think they're going to be stepping on each other's toes, and you don't want to step on Darren Pratley's toes. He'll put you in the East Stand whether you're on his side or not. so, no, I'd have him on the bench, you know, if you need him to shore up towards the end. Like I said, I think I'd have brought him on Tuesday night. But because I just think he's just got a bit more for that kind of pitch, which, like I say, yeah, I don't think Albie touched the ball three times, because he just looked lost being at almost like a tip of a diamond. And I think Watson does that kind of job for you really well, but I just don't think you can play the two of them together. I think it's just too similar. It's like you wouldn't play put two goalkeepers in, so why put two of exactly the same kind of player in? So
we probably could have done with two goalkeepers at times recently, but unfortunately, yeah.
More than
you
that.
You can't do that. Right, Rogers, talking about Maddison as well, so we'll come on to that shortly. But first, I just want to talk about a little bit about transfers, because, you know, we've known for a few days now that Paul Smith was going to go back to QPR. That's actually been confirmed now whilst we're recording the pod, and also he's gone out to Accrington Stanley straight away on loan. He's played there before, actually, and I was just looking at Accrington's video announcing the signing of Paul Smith. It says backflips incoming, and it shows him doing loads of backflips whilst scoring for Accrington. It's like, I didn't know he did that, but then I thought, well, the only time he ever scored for us was when we pulled a goal back at bottom of the table, Burton Albion. So you'd have to have some pretty big balls on him to start back flipping when we've just got back to 2-1 against bottom of the league side. So clearly didn't do that. So, but anyway, it's interesting just to hear from Bo. It's only a short clip, but he was asked today if Paul Smith going back to QPR will, you know, be the start of some more movement for the Addicts.
If it doesn't, then it's not through lack of trying. Like I said after the game, we will bring in players if we can, and they will have to improve us. We won't just bring in people just to come in and sit there and watch football. So it's a waste of time and a waste of money. So if we can do any business, it will be the right person coming through the door to make us stronger with the running.
So, I mean, Boyer's making it clear, Tom, that he would like, you know, he's trying to wheel and deal. We know about this cap. You know, Smith going out, Bogle hinting he probably might leave, and I think that would certainly be something that Charlton are trying to do, is to move him on. You know, hopefully that will give you some space to bring someone else in. Now, we've got another striker in. We've got Akin coming back. So is it defender still if Akin's back, and Ryan Innes, I don't know how he's a bit further away still, or is it midfielder? We've got a lot of midfielders. Where is it? Or is it just, you know, get another striker in so we've got about 50?
I think striker's probably fine. I think I'd like to see another shinny type midfielder come in. As I said kind of when I was speaking earlier, I think the impact of him not being in the side was a real issue. And I can't really think of anybody else who is kind of typical box to box. Like I say, the likes of Albie and Liam and Johnny do track back now, or certainly more than perhaps they did, but it's not their game necessarily. I think, as Mark touched on, we're stocked with kind of Pratley at the base and Watson to come in if needed, but I do think perhaps somebody else who can give us that energy in the park in kind of the middle third of the pitch would potentially be an option. Boyer often talks about two players for every position, and I don't think we've got a like-for-like replacement for Shinny if he misses out. All the other place I still think would be centre-back. As we say, we don't know when Ryan Innes is coming back. Famwo, you would expect to be quick to slot in, and Deji is improving, but a month ago, if we'd known that Deji or Pierce were going to have to be playing alongside Famwo for the rest of the season, I think some people would have said that's not strong enough. And I think some of Pierce's recent performances maybe echo that. And Deji still, you know, has those fragilities in him. So I think maybe another centre-back to push them, or someone in Shinny's place would be good. But as Bowyer always says, it needs to improve us. And I don't think we're going to get a forward in that improves on what we've already got. And I don't think any of the other positions either. I think we're pretty well stocked everywhere else. So that's where I'd be looking. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, last few days of the window.
Yeah. Mark, you sad to see Paul Smith go? He had little flashes for us. I like bits and pieces what I saw of him.
Yeah, I didn't dislike the guy. I think he was played up front, and then he was pushed out sort of like to the wing, and he took people on, he crossed the ball. That's probably really the position I'd be looking for literally another winger. I think defence, we've got enough cover. Midfield, because we haven't talked about Gilby. Gilby's there as well. So midfield, I think we're okay. I just think maybe another sort of like a winger, a Lloyd Sam type winger. Someone who's sort of like can get round someone and curl in across. It's what we thought Maddison was going to do. But someone who's, but you're not going to get anyone, you know, good. You're probably just going to pick up another loan. But I'm not sure, are we up to our full quota of loan signings now? I'm not certain on that. So is there a zippy winger out there which we can pick up cheap? Probably not. So we'll have to be what we've got. And it depends if anyone goes out. I know there's been talk about, you know, Bogle actually going out somewhere. But I don't know who's going to pick him up, and because that would probably leave us short, seeing as like Davison's out on loan, so it would leave us with Chucks, Ronnie, and Stockley and Washington. Mm. But if Washington's going to be out for a few weeks, it leaves you three. So I mean, I know, you know, you've got people like Johnny who can play in the 10, and you could probably drop Miller in as well. But you know, maybe up front would be the only place. But I'd be churlish, I think. I think a few weeks ago I'd have had a central defender. If people coming back now, like Barry says, you know, you're not going to end up playing them. So, you know, we've had lone players over the last couple of seasons who've got half a game or a game, and that's been it. And you're thinking, well, why have we actually had them? They've not improved us.
Hmm. Yeah. And just looking at the loan, so with Smith going back, I think that's left us with four: Martson, Shinny, Stockley, and Miller. So there is space for one more. And you, I mean, I think you can have as many as you want, but I think you can only have five in a match day squad. But I do believe that leaves us with one more, unless I've missed one off this list. Don't blame me, blame Soccer Base if that is the case. Now, Maddison's been mentioned a few times on the show. Yeah, PJN said it in his tweet about Maddison not being mentioned in today's press conference, but he was mentioned on Tuesday, and I don't think anyone directly asked today. I was only sort of half listening in. So and then Roger says it seems like Boyer doesn't like Maddison after all, after what we heard on Tuesday. So just in case you haven't read what Bo said when asked about Maddison, the update to his injury or his fitness on Tuesday, I'm just going to play it for you now. So this is Boyer and Maddison after the game on Tuesday.
No, Marcus Maddison has had a few days off because he said he was ill, and then someone he knew then had COVID. And obviously he had that ankle injury, didn't he? So Marcus Maddison is not training. I've not seen him for a few days. I think I see him yesterday, but from a distance. He was outside with the fitness people ticking boxes, like ticking the box to see if he can start training again. So, but yeah, he's not been in and around us for a few days now.
Yeah, eyebrow raising, I think, is the way I'd describe that, Tom. You know, when Bo was saying it, I did think, wow, that, you know, it doesn't sound great, does it? The way he speaks about Maddison, I think it's become quite clear that Maddison is a skillful player, but he's not really a Bowyer kind of player. He doesn't do that tracking back as much as you'd hope to see. And then Bo wasn't happy, jumped out of a tackle. I think it was the end of Accrington game. A couple of weeks ago. I mean, there was one game where Bo did praise Maddison for his running around and tracking back, so he's got it in him, but I'm guessing he doesn't strike me as the sort of player who would always do that. And I just wonder if Bo's, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. What did you make of what Bo said, Tom?
Yeah, it is interesting, and you and I had this debate on WhatsApp the other day, didn't we? And you kind of came to the conclusion that managers think they can be the manager to turn a player like that. And we know he's had his issues with certain clubs in the past. For me, when he signed, it threw up a bit of a red flag because they are big personalities. Obviously, I don't know Maddison personally, but you know he comes with his reputation. We've all seen the Peterborough Steve Evans press conference as a prime example of how Bowyer can react in certain scenarios. So I never thought the two of them were going to get on necessarily, but I did wonder whether Bowyer could mould him into the sort of player he wants, and I wonder whether he feels maybe he hasn't been able to do that. I think what's interesting is that with other players he's called out, and we've spoken openly about Johnny Williams as a key example of this, but Albie Morgan as well, and there's plenty of others across the team, Omar Bogle. He's then given them a chance. They've come back into the side and largely they've done well. You know, Williams and Bogle in particular scored goals very soon after being called out. Morgan has gone from strength to strength in the last season, I would say, after the same. So I wonder whether something has happened that means Bowyer doesn't want to give Maddison that chance to repay it, or whether he's just injured at the moment and he's going to have to wait and he will give him a go. It's a difficult one. It wouldn't surprise me if it just isn't going to work out. And it is a shame because, as you say, you see his highlights reel, which I know you can't judge everything on, but we know he can play football. And we've even seen it just in the brief time that he's had with us. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, ultimately no player is bigger than the team. And particularly with a Bowyer team, it is all built around that kind of collaboration. And, you know, every player putting their body on the line for everybody else. And I wonder whether Maddison has that to the extent that Bowyer needs. But it is just one comment after one game. And it would be interesting to see, once Maddison feels he is fit, what happens then. What sort of a run are we on? Are we winning games? Do we need somebody like that to come in? And just see whether Bowyer gives him a chance then. Because I still think he offers us something on the pitch. But maybe he's a bit of a luxury player and Bowyer isn't one for those in his side, I don't think.
Yeah, it makes a decision. The decision's strange about signing him, perhaps, because as Tom said, we know what he's about. I guess, Mark, when I mean, Tom mentioned that me and him were speaking about this on WhatsApp the other day, and I did say, you know, also, as well as, you know, every manager thinks they're going to be the one to turn a player around and get him playing in his mould. And don't take this as us writing Maddison off and saying he's finished now. It's not at all. It's just where we are currently, you know, trying to work out what the relationship is between the player and the manager. Also, you know, it is worth the gamble, I think, because he will have come in under the cap. So he's on the cheaper wages, although, of course, you know, we haven't got many of these wages to throw around. But if it comes off, and there is still time for that to happen, the player he can be for us, it'd be well worth that gamble, isn't it? So if Bowyer can find that thing that clicks into place for Maddison and turns him into the player we know he can be, I mean, he can still be massive for us in the second half of the season.
Oh, he can. And I think we've sort of, like, suffered a bit because we publicly courted him before we went to Hull, and, you know, we thought, okay, then he's going to go there. We didn't realise behind the scenes, you know, we didn't have a pot to in. And he knows that we've wanted him. And then so when we finally got him, whether he's turned up with the attitude like, oh, you've really wanted me, you've been chasing me for so long, you know, I'm just going to turn up, do what I do, and that's it. But he's then got here, and the things to do, if you want to be in a Bowyer team, you work hard and you try hard. And if he sees you not doing either of those two things, that's it. And I think possibly he's quite vocal, and he's probably, you know, Bowyer's been giving it to him, and he's probably giving it a bit back, because I don't think he's a shy retiring type. And Bowyer's gone, right, I'm the manager, so, you know, you do what you do. And, you know, I saw that thing after the other night, and I did think to myself, ooh, did it just get colder in here, or was it just me? With that, and he's got so much skill in, and it is frustrating when you have a player like that, you're thinking, you know, why can't you do it? And, you know, whether Bowyer's not 100% saying, you know, his attitude's there, you know, not right, and like you say, maybe he thought he could change it around, but maybe, you know, because we were so keen to get him, Maddison's come in with a, you know, I should be the star of this team, you've been after me for a year. You know, so just, you know, put me in and just let me do what I do. I'm not going to track back. I'm just going to do that 5 minutes of magic and get your goal or whatever. And, you know, you don't have that luxury in League One. You know, you've got hard-working teams all the way around because they don't have the skills, so they work harder. You know, if you've lost to a team which has outworked you, you know, you've got to say, well, we've got to work harder. And if you've got one player who's going, well, no, I don't really want to work that hard, you know, I wouldn't want to be a teammate with someone who's not going to put in the same amount of effort I'm putting in. So, you know, I think
that sounds Maddison's like a thinly veiled dig at Nathan there, not doing the pod recently to me, but we'll let it slide. Right. Let's have a quick break. When we come back, it'll be time to look ahead properly to the Portsmouth game.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes. It's a shot. Oh, great free kick. Oh, the power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half-time, make it two. That you're going to be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live, the final part of the big match preview, and it is the aptly named show this week. Sometimes you call it the big match preview and you're playing some old cloggers. It doesn't really do it justice, but it's a big one on Saturday at the Valley. We welcome Portsmouth, a familiar foe to us, fifth versus sixth, or sixth versus fifth, really, at the Valley. They've got two games in hand on us and are a point ahead of us, so really we need to pick up a result to stop them climbing too far away from us. Now let's hear from Lee Bowyer first before we discuss it ourselves. As always with his previews of the game, we'll start with a fitness update. He was asked first of all about Connor Washington, of course, who went off injured during the win at Milton Keynes.
Connor's going to go for a scan today. Obviously we won't know anything regarding him until later on. Ian's fine. He'll train today. Again, it was more of a rest thing for him. He's a young lad, come in, played a lot of games. I just felt like I was catching up with him before he got injured. Then that was the right thing to do. So he'll come back in training, so he's fine. So yeah, that's where we're at. Akin, not sure. He might be training today. He might be with a group. Just had a meeting there. So we'll see how he goes. Might be a bit too early for the weekend, but we'll see how he goes today.
Talk about Portsmouth. They're a side that play various different formations, but Saturday's a fixture, obviously, that the club has a lot of memories for matches against Portsmouth. But be a good time, not just for back-to-back wins, of course, but for beating a side that's also in the top six just above us.
Yeah, I think when you play these sides that are in and around you, it's good for a mental, like if you win mentally, it's good as well, you know, because obviously it puts some doubt into the other team and then it gives you that boost like going into the next one. So, but Portsmouth, we all know, like in the time I've been in charge, it's every single time we've played Portsmouth, it's they've been tight games. First goals are always important in them tight games and you have to compete. You have to compete against them because they're a big, strong, physical team. And they've got players in the final third that hurt you. Like you see it, they're not in that position that they're in for nothing. You know, they're a good team. They're always tough. You have to fight from start to finish. 2 years ago, we go back to that. And I remember playing them away. I think Christian came off with concussion. George ended up come having concussion after the game. Like it was crazy and you have to put your body on the line. Like that's what happens when you play against top sides that like Portsmouth that are physical. So we'll have to be ready for sure.
There we go then. But you're looking ahead to the game against Portsmouth. Oh, it's a massive game, Tom. I mean, not only for us to build on this little run of one win that we've had, but you know, taking into account performances improving, but also, as I've already said, you know, the team we're playing are one place above us with 1 point more, but they have two games in hand. I mean realistically we don't want to see anyone above us getting too far away from us, because then we're relying on what's below us as well, and we need to make sure that we pick up a win. I think that'd be quite important.
Yeah, absolutely, huge game, and it's kind of become our classic League One fixture, it feels like, over recent seasons. And as Bowyer said, they've always been really tight games. You know, one goal for the majority of them has decided them. And this one, I imagine, is going to be no different. I know that they've been on a kind of mixed run in terms of results recently. I think in January, they've maybe lost 4 and 1-2, but I know they had a really good run in December. And they've played both Hull and Lincoln, who are obviously the top two this month as well. So you factor that in. Look, they're a good side. They're a physical side. We know the sort of game it's going to be, as I say, because we've played them a lot of times recently. And you're right. I think I don't want to use the phrase must win because it's way too early in the season for that. But if we don't win, then there is that opportunity for those sides to just drift slightly further away from us. And as you say, we don't have the games in hand anymore. And obviously those teams have to go and win those games in hand for them to matter. But if we can get points on the board here, jump up, I think, potentially to, what, fourth place, leapfrog Portsmouth, then, yeah, it could put us in really good shape and start to build on some momentum from Tuesday night. So, yeah, just focusing on ourselves as a team, the confidence that a victory against that side would give us would be massive. As I say, going into February, where we've just got one game a week and can really knuckle down on the training pitch. So, an absolutely massive game for us.
Yeah, now Portsmouth, they're going to be without Jack Watmo, who's had his appeal against the red card he got against Lincoln rejected, so he'll be serving a three-match ban. But, I mean, they've got some good players. You know, look at their form, they've just lost the last couple of heavy defeat at home to Hull, beaten by Lincoln, the top two sides in the division. So, you know, we show it's doable. And the result against them down at Fratton Park, the performance was one of my favourite performances of the season as well. So, it's hard to gauge. It'd be interesting, Mark, again, as a gauge of where we are currently, because when we played a big team recently, like the likes of Accrington, who are up there, you know, despite the size of the club, and of course Hull City, we've looked a bit silly, really. We've been outplayed. Peterborough beat us, although we played better than them. So, again, another interesting gauge of where we are, how we're shaping up now against the top sides again.
Yeah, I mean, this one hurts for not being at the Valley for. I love Charlton Portsmouth's games. I really do. I think their fans, when they're packing that stand out, you know, and they always do pack it out, and they're noisy, and it's always the same. Almost like we do at Fratton. We make the same like noise down there. And I think there's respect between the two clubs, the history between the two clubs. It's always probably one of the fixtures I look for first when they come out, if we're in the same league, when we play Pompey. Because I've got a lot of time for them. They're what I call like an honest club. And it's a tough one, because they are in intermittent form, but like I say, we're not pulling up trees ourselves. You know, we've had a win, a draw, a loss. And so I think the advantage is if the rain holds off and the valley's looking nice and green, that'll play into our strengths, passing it round. But maybe sort of like not having the crowd there will help them a touch more. Other teams have said that. You know, they've come to the valley this year, and because it hasn't had a crowd there, it's benefited them, really, because we said it's a big, imposing ground, which is full and noisy. I said, we haven't had that, so it's a hard one. It's 50-50. I think if we start off on a front foot, and if he doesn't change the back four for a reason, and we start off on front foot like we did against Milton Keynes, I mean, we get chances. We've got people there now who know where the goal is. I mean, Chucks is looking awesome when he comes on, holding a ball, putting himself around. Stockley impressed me the other day, you know, that kind of striker. Bit of height on him as well. Not afraid to sort of like lean into people. And Ronnie's a smart finisher. So I think if we can put enough chances up there, so I think we can get something out of the game. I mean, it is a tough one. Would I take a draw? If we're two down and we come back to 2-2, yes. You know, if we're two up and it comes back to 2-2, no. So I can't call it, shall we say. But I'm just saying this is one which I miss for most this season.
Yeah, and you're right about it being a really tough one to call, because you never know what sort of Portsmouth side are going to show up. Certainly, look, you know, their form can be a bit intermittent, if that's the right word. It's very inconsistent, and probably the same with us, to be fair, over the last few weeks. I mean, Tom, just before we hear your prediction, is there any particular change you'd make to the side? You know, one of the tweets earlier is talking about what strikers we'd start with, and that is sort of basically a rotational basis that we go with at the moment. The midfield, well, hard to see too many changes after I don't know if Prattley is knackered or anything after the display he put in, but is there anything you'd like to see change?
It's a difficult one. I think largely I'd like the midfield to stay as similar as it can and try and get that consistency. Certainly the back four, or if possible as well. I know Martin might be fit again to come in. I actually think Perrington did fine on Tuesday, and I'm an advocate of just keeping that back four if they've kept a clean sheet. So it'll be interesting to see what he does there. I think in terms of the forwards, I think Connor Washington for me is a starter purely because of his work rate. I know him and Ronnie are kind of the two similar strikers, so they're not the pair that are likely to play together. But I think against a side like Portsmouth, it'd be interesting to see two of those and that work rate in there. But then, you know, Chucks and Stockley give us that physicality, which again, we're going to need in both boxes. So, yeah, I think the top two will be the interesting one for me. Aside from that, I'd largely like the nine behind them to stay the same. So I wonder whether he will rotate and put Ronnie and Chucks in from the start, or try and maybe mix those combinations up, you know, because he says it's like for like. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to play as a two and a two. So, yeah, up front is where I'm interested to see who he goes with. But the rest of it, I would hope, would stay largely the same.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've just about got time for some predictions. So, Tom, how do you see this one going?
1-0 Charlton.
Nice. Just like Back to the Valley Day in 1992, Mark?
I'm going 2-1 Charlton.
Lovely stuff. Right, so that's the end of this week's Charlton Live at the Big Match Preview. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at that game against Pompey. So hopefully we shall see you again then. Thanks to Tom and to Mark for joining me on this evening's show.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Bob.
Good to have you both with me. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on Sunday. Lee Bowyer made of the game. That would be his job if he's like a gardener or something, Lee Mower. But against Milton Keynes Dons, I asked the boss what he made of it after the match. I think that might be the worst joke I've ever done on this show.
That was bad.
There's a long list of those, Lou.
Connor Washington-esque.
Nah, that's a good joke.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.